So as you're comfortable and as you're able, will you join me in reading today's scripture? Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you all for helping me with that. How many of you were here last Sunday? Okay, good. This isn't no judgment. I actually won't remember who raised their hand and who didn't. But it looks like a lot of you were. You remember what we talked about? Anybody remember? The dumpster. We did talk about the dumpster coming. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Good. Anybody remember what I talked about in my sermon? Good. Okay. So what I'm hearing is next time we just do announcements and then we all go home. Because really, no, I'm kidding. I'll jog your memory. I don't expect you to remember, but I'll jog your memory. Last week we talked about Jesus calling his disciples and saying, "Come, I will make you fishers of people," right? I'll make you fishers of men, right? And we talked about how as Jesus calls us into the work of creating God's kingdom on earth, really, as Jesus calls us into the work of inviting more and more people into life abundance, that's the work we're called to, that as we do that work together, we build the kind of community that creates life abundant for us, right? The relationships that we build as we do the work together, that creates both meaning for us, but also deep relationships as we work side by side with folks. Now, allow me to, because you all are always so kind as you're leaving worship. If you say anything about my sermon, it's always kind. So allow me to do what I always tell you that you're welcome to do. Allow me to preach against what I just told you last week. Because here's the thing. Anytime we come up with one answer in Scripture, there's always a counter lesson. There's always something that contradicts it. And that's not an accident. That's not a flaw. That's not a bug in the system. It doesn't mean that you're not faithful enough, or you don't know Scripture well enough because you can't understand how it all agrees. I don't think Scripture is meant to always agree for a number of reasons. One, we're not always in the same space in our lives, right? There are times where different things, we need to hear different things because we're facing different things. But also because there's never a time where you can just understand it all makes sense, and then you get to control the narrative, right? Like, I got it, so now I can work around it, right? Like, I'm like a lawyer who really understands the law, and therefore I know how to maneuver it and make it do what I want to do. We don't get to control God, right? So I do believe in what I preached last week, and I think this scripture specifically rebukes that lesson. Yeah? Last week I talked about how as we work together, as we are called into God's kingdom, one of the things we are called to do is immediately as we invite people out of the chaos of the water where they're just sort of tossed by the fortunes of the world around them, as we invite them up into the boat, we immediately are inviting them into the work of helping others, right? This is what it means to live into the kingdom of God, is to invite others into the work of building the kingdom of God. And as we read this scripture that I think I preached on this like, I don't know, within the last 3 months. But as we read this scripture, it very clearly says, between these two sisters where one is working and the other is not, that the one who is not working has chosen the better part. And I believe the last time I preached on this, I made the point, so let me just sort of throw it out there again. I'm not gonna argue it because we've already done that. We've already litigated this piece, right? This is not a call for us all to like just stop working and sit down and and just wait for the Lord to come speak to us, right? Like, this isn't, none of us have to work anymore, Jesus said, right? But it's a reminder that there are times where we are called to do the work, and there are times where we are called to sit and listen. And this is the hard part about being the church. There are times when, as the church, we spend all our time studying. We want to learn the Bible, read the Bible, study the Bible. And that's great. But if we spend all the time learning the Bible, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, and we don't do anything to live the Bible, right? You can do all the things, you can know all the things that Jesus taught and never do any of them, which is often the hard part. And then, what are you? Who are you? You're part of this Matthew 25 split that Jesus talks about, where he says, not all who call me Lord, Lord will I know, right? Not everybody who know me will know me, because what? Because you didn't actually go feed the hungry, or you didn't actually go clothe the naked, or you didn't actually visit the prisoner, right? You didn't live it out in any way that actually made it real in the world, right? At the same time, there are other churches that they just want to do, and they never stop to reflect, right? So there are plenty of churches that run into the problem of, we're not, as churches, we're not social service agencies, right? So it is good for us to do. We can serve the homeless. We can serve people who are struggling with mental illness. We can serve those who are hungry. We can serve those who are in prison. Those are all good things. But if we aren't doing it with love, if we're not reflecting on where God is in the midst of it, if we're not learning and growing as disciples, then it's hollow. We're never going to solve homelessness simply by putting somebody in a house one person at a time. It takes a shift in the world. It takes a God-sized vision. It takes changing the way that we think about everything. And the only way that happens is to first be transformed before we can expect to transform in any significant way. Well, this is the hard part about teaching the importance of doing. So I stand up here for 20 minutes every Sunday and I tell you that it has to be more than just listening to me talk, right? Or I talk to you about the importance of listening to each other, but then I'm so busy creating worship that I don't actually spend time or make time for us to talk to each other, right? You can come to church every Sunday, sit in the pews with people every week, recognize their faces and not know anything about their story or what they're struggling with right now, right? You can. I hope you don't, but you can. And that's not anybody's fault. This is not me saying, shame on you. This is not even, and this is the hardest part for me, this is not even me saying, shame on me. This is me saying, if we really want to do something different, if we want to know why folks aren't pouring in the church doors like they used to back in, I don't know, you pick a date, the good old days, right? Which were never probably as good as we seem to remember them being, right? That we, if we haven't learned anything else in the recent last 10 years, the times that we're trying to go back to, A, you can never go back, and B, they were never what we remember them being, right? There's no path forward but forward for us, okay? But if you want to know why people aren't pouring in the doors, it's because we need to first transform ourselves before we can invite anybody else into transformation. And we cannot solve that primarily by just doing more. We have to start by listening to each other and saying, what does transformation look like in your life? on both sides. What do you need? But also, what would you, if you could do anything, if you could contribute anything to the world, what would it be? Right? What brokenness or pain needs to be transformed in your life? And what power of transformation do you have inside of you, and you're just looking for an outlet to pour it into the world? Right? Those are the God-sized dreams that we have the ability to be a part of. Now listen, I love the idea of feeding people. As Martha is preparing a meal for Jesus, I think, yes, let's do that. And as we get ready for to start back our Wednesday evenings in September, I want to pull together people to talk about how do we feed people, right? How do we feed people on Wednesday nights? And how do we provide a meal that the kids who come on Wednesday evenings for programming want to eat, and that is going to be filling for the people who come in off the streets who may never come to worship here, but who need a place to get a meal, and for anybody else who wants to come on a Wednesday night, and maybe busy families who just need a break from cooking once a week or whatever that looks like? How do we feed people? But it can't just be about how do we make dinner and the drudgery of it, but it's how do we nurture people, right? How do we provide something that folks are excited about, both the people who are eating and the people who are serving, both the people who are consuming and the people who are, how do we make sure it's a place where everybody feels like I'm not just here because I'm broken and I need food and I can't manage for myself, but because this is a place where I am fed and I get to feed others. That's transformational, right? And so we need to find those places where we are both joining Jesus in the call of inviting people, doing the work of transforming the world, and where we remember that often it begins by listening to God, to ourselves, to one another. Begins by building relationships with God, with ourselves, and with one another that are based on true transformation. What do we need to have transformed in our lives? And what are we called to contribute to the transformation of the world? What a beautiful opportunity God calls us into. May we find the space to sit and live into it with each person that God has called into this place and beyond. Amen.